Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week was raised in Frankenmuth, Michigan, and earned a Bachelor of Arts degree from Valparaiso University. He joined Zenders, his family business, in 1976 and became its CEO/chairman in 2000. Zenders operates a 1,500-seat restaurant, Splash Village Hotel and Water Park, a retail marketplace, and the Fortress Golf Course. He's also the chairman of the board of Northwood University. His name, Al Zender. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Al Zender.
Hey, Jack. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Welcome. It's an honor to have you. The town of Frankenmuth, Michigan, was founded in 1845. 174 years ago. How did it happen, Al?
Well, the original intent was a group of 15 missionaries were sent over from Germany to preach Christianity to the local Indians. That didn't turn out so well, but what emerged was a thriving community in the middle of Michigan, and the initial focus for business was to cater to the lumbering trade that was going on in the Saginaw Valley.
Frankenmuth. Muth stands for courage.
Courage of the Franks, right.
And you got about 4,800 people. It's in the middle of nowhere. How do you explain this miracle we call Frankenmuth?
Well, it's hard to explain, but I think the whole genesis of the tourism industry came about with the focus of three individuals, really. My dad, Eddie Zender, and my uncle, they called him Tiny, William Zender Jr., Tiny Zender, and a guy by the name of Wally Brunner, had a sort of singular but common vision of really building Frankenmuth as a local attraction. And Wally with the Christmas decorations, and we had Zender's Fishers, which then became the Bavarian Inn, serving the family-style chicken dinner. And then a whole host of smaller businesses sprung up around those. And over the years, you know, when tourism really started to take off, when Detroit, I'm looking out and looking at the skyline of Detroit right now, and I'm thinking, really, when Detroit put America on wheels, people started traveling, and they needed places to go, places to eat, places to shop, and the tourism boom really started in the late 1940s, certainly for Frankenmuth.
All right, let's go back to the late 40s. You're born. Talk to us about your childhood and your mom and your dad.
I had a great childhood. I was brought up right in Frankenmuth, and spent a lot of time in the restaurant, getting in the way initially, as a young kid, walking around irritating, some of the senior employees. And I had a rich group of aunts and uncles that some worked in the business, some didn't. But it was a great family atmosphere. My mom and dad were just really hardworking individuals. And my dad was the kind of guy to go in at, first thing in the morning, take a little bit of a break, then go back and close the place down at night, sort of a back of the house kind of guy. My mom was a little bit more in the front of the house, working in the dining rooms a little bit more. But she also assisted in a lot of the development of some of the recipes, and they just worked together and built that business. And I just observed two very, very hardworking, family-loving people.
At 14, they were paying you 75 cents an hour.
75 cents an hour. I got free meals, though. Free meals.
Right. What's the biggest thing you learned from Dad, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom?
Well, first of all, they had a great faith, and they really loved their family. And family was always first, and no matter what, and never argue over a dollar. I learned that from my uncle. My dad and my uncle was sort of a business match made in heaven. They really worked well together, and they never argued. They built Bavarian Inn, and they built Zenders independently, but collectively as well. And they never argued about who got what or this, and because if they were focused on the family. My mother was just a great person that showed us love and affection and help, and that transcended into the business. So they were two just really, really great people. You know.
All right, let's go back 90 years.
Holy cow.
Mother's Day. It opens on Mother's Day, 1929. They serve 312 chicken dinners at a dollar each.
Yeah, it was Mother's Day is a special day for us, number one, because we get to honor and serve mothers from all over Michigan, and we do it every day. So they come from all over the world. But this year, Mother's Day of 2019, signified our 90th year in business. My grandfather purchased the business in 1928, and after a little bit of remodeling, opened on Mother's Day of 1929. So it's a Founder's Day as well. It's an important day for us.
We're talking Elsender. L, how often do you drink the chicken soup and have chicken dinner?
I eat chicken every day, just about. The soup maybe every other day, but...
You're like Wade Boggs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. You know, it's just... in fact, my wife made chicken last night at home for dinner, so it's something that is sort of ingrained in our in our diet, or the psyche of our diet, maybe. So it's every day, just about.
We're talking Elsender, and there's two restaurants, Zender's, Main Street, and then the Bavarian Inn.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to ask him the $64,000 question. The tunnel. Is there a tunnel between the two? And is there one kitchen that serves both of them? So don't go away. We're going to find out. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula. We're with Elsender, who joined his family's business in 1976, and since 2000, he's been the CEO, chairman of Zender's. Okay, Al, the famous tunnel under Main Street to serve both restaurants. Tell us about it.
Urban myth, non-existent. It was, I don't know how it ever started, but there's always been this... myth, I guess you'd call it, that there's this tunnel connecting Zender's and Bavarian Inn, but it never was, and it never will be. I will say we did research it at one point, and it just wasn't feasible. But interesting story: a young guy brought his girlfriend in not too long ago, and wanted to show his girlfriend the tunnel, but didn't remember where the entry was. And he was in our guest service office, and we said, "Well, there is no tunnel." He goes, "Well, yeah, I've been in it." He goes, "No, there is no tunnel. There never has been." So, if I can dispel the rumor, I'm dispelling it on WJR, Jack, on your show. So, never has been, never will be.
Describe for us, L, Zender's culture.
It's we have developed a culture of service, and I'm just of the belief that nobody gets up in the morning and says, "Hey, how can I, I'm looking for a $26 family-style chicken dinner." People don't think like that, or a $200 room night, or a $65 round of golf. So we like to focus on the experience that you have, and we do a lot of training on customer service and finding out what the guest wants and meeting or exceeding their expectations. So we have a philosophy of empowerment and understanding that it's the guest that is paying our bills and paying me. And it's a service philosophy that is, again, was modeled by our parents. And I take the responsibility of I call it customer service 101. I bring our employees in for about an hour and a half. We talk about the service cycle and making sure that everybody understands what their role is and making sure that every guest is satisfied.
The leader has to propagate that culture.
You have to.
You've got 900 teammates.
Yeah, we have about 925 employees. Sometimes it seems like about 900 too many, but we want them all focused in the same direction. I never forget that Lee Iacocca said one time, he was asked, "What's the toughest job that you have to do?" And he goes, "Making sure that the guy on the line understands where we're going as a company." And I never forgot that. And it sort of instilled in me is everybody from the top on down has to understand their role and understand how important they are in the whole service experience that we want to provide for our guest.
That experience and you can seat 1,500 at a time.
Yes.
10 dining rooms. You got white tablecloths on all of them. A couple weeks ago on Mother's Day, you served 4,000.
Just about 4,000, yes.
Your biggest day of the year is Thanksgiving, 7,000. How do you make the mashed potatoes?
One pan at a time. And it's just, you know, sometimes, you know, you look back and even I you wonder, how in the heck do we do it? But when you grow in small increments, when I started in 1976, we had about right around 200 employees. And so it's a sort of a slow marathon, if you will, to get to where we are today. And you just grow up with it. Yeah.
Speaking of growing up, during the year, Zender's guests consume 950,000 pounds of chicken, 750,000 pounds of cabbage, 180,000 pounds of mashed potatoes, 40,000 pounds of assorted vegetables, 50 tons of squash, 26,000 pounds of coffee, 26,000 gallons of ice cream, 40,000 loaves of Stollian bread. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we try to, you know, the whole farm-to-table thing and making things fresh. Now it sounds kind of a new idea. We've been doing it for a long time. I mean, we have a local farmer that grows our Blue Hubbard squash for us that we process. We process all of our own cranberry relish. We do as much as we can internally. We bake all of our own baked products that are on the table or in our bakery. We have a really great bakery team, European pastries. We take whole heads of cabbage and make it into our cabbage salad. So we try to remain what we call efficiently old-fashioned, and it's served us well. We get a better quality product. We use whole, not frozen chickens that we cook, and we cut them into 10 pieces and process that all ourselves so that we can really control, vertically control as much as we can.
You say, you know, we've been doing it a long time. You've got four young people who are the fourth generation of Zender's in the business.
Yeah, we're very fortunate, and we've always said to attract the next generation, you have to build an exciting company. And so I think when we got into Zender Splash Village, which has just been a great addition to our company, it's reintroduced families back into Zender's over the years, and multi-generational families, and the next generation, they saw what we were doing, and it looked pretty exciting to them. And one by one, we have four back in the company. That my oldest daughter just finished her MBA at Northwood, and my son has a degree from Northwood, Christopher, and my nephew Nick came from my alma mater, Valparaiso University, and Olivia came from went to Central Michigan, and I have another nephew, there's actually five, that is in the business in an administrative role. So, and they all get along well, and they've learned the lessons, I think, that hopefully that we've passed on, that I learned from our parents, that you got to get along, and no matter what happens at work, you better feel comfortable going to somebody's, your aunt or uncle or somebody's house for dinner that evening. So,
the restaurant business, Al, is as tough a business as there is. You've been doing it for 90 years. How? In the middle of nowhere.
Gosh, it's just, you just do the best you can do every day, and you surround yourself with good people. You don't cut corners, and you just focus on the guest. And too often people get in the restaurant business and they think they're in the food business. You're not in the food business. You're in the people business. So whether you're dealing with 900 employees or nearly a million guests each year, those are your two top priorities that you have to focus on. So I think if you lose sight of the guest and what's relevant to the guest and keeping your business relevant, you're not going to last long. We've been fortunate to be out there for 90 years. I know the next generation is looking at the next 90 years.
But today is a new day. So.
Today is a new day.
All right. You talk about price leaders versus service leaders.
Correct.
What's the difference?
Well, we like to think that some businesses, when they get into business, you have a choice. I'm either going to sell my product cheaper than anybody else and try to build it that way. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's great companies that do it. And or I'm going to try to find a way to add some sort of added value and sell a very similar product, but at a different price point, at a higher price point. And that's what we focused on, is we try to sell. We don't want to be a service leader. And the added value to our product, sort of the last point I make in our service class, the added value to our product is our people. Because you can go golfing anywhere and find a $20 round of golf or a cheaper chicken dinner or a cheaper loaf of bread that in our bakery, or you can stay at cheaper hotel rooms. But we want to create the experience of dining at Zenders, the experience of golfing at the Fortress, the experience of being at Splash Village, or the experience of shopping in Zenders Marketplace. It's all about the experience and trying to create that experience for each and individual guest, no matter if we serve 20 people in a day or 5,000.
I quote you again, success is about selling experiences.
That's what we do. We're in the business of building relationships by selling experiences. And, you know, we hear it a lot. And a lot of multi-generational companies will come back, and they're looking for that same experience, that same that same feeling that they had when their mom and dad brought them, or their aunt and uncle, or grandma and grandpa. And I just over the holidays, one of our servers said, "You know what? It was over Christmas," and he said, "Every one of my parties that I've had today have celebrated Thanksgiving there." So they know they can trust us because we create that family experience for them that maybe is missing sometimes in the home or in this fast-paced world in which we live. So slow down a little bit. Come to Zenders.
Talking about multi-generations, family experiences, every day you see three generations of families eating or at the hotel or at the splash park. You got grandparents, parents, kids. What have these families taught you, Elsender?
To stay relevant. I mean, to keep doing what you're doing. I mean, with Splash Village, we've noticed that grandma and grandpas are now seem a whole lot younger to me. I mean, when I was growing up, my grandma always seemed old. But, I mean, now you have them in the water park, and we've remained relevant to the family, which is our major market segment. We want to market to the family, and the more that we can do that, the more that we can appeal to the family, the more that we can create that family experience for them. I think we're going to be okay, and I'm just bullish on Frankenmuth. I'm bullish on Michigan. I think Michigan's a great place to do business.
We're talking to Al Zender, the CEO of Zenders. And speaking of marketing, when we come back, we're going to ask you about a world-class marketer, the late great Wally Bronner. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with the 2018 Michigan Small Business Person of the Year.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, for remembering, I think.
Al Zender. Yeah. All right. The late, great Wally Bronner.
Quite a guy. Yeah, I mean, I was blessed to know Wally, and he was just one of these visionaries. I mean, who would have thought you could build the largest Christmas store, the world's largest Christmas store in Frankenmuth, Michigan? And he was just larger than life and had just a great way about him. And always made you feel special. You know, he looked at you and always had that twinkle in his eye, and invariably dressed in some form of green and red to celebrate Christmas. And he built a great business and a great family. We're blessed to be friends, close friends with the Bronner family. We're neighbors, business neighbors as well. So Wally was one of those special characters that come along maybe once in a generation.
Maybe about 10 years ago, I had him on the show.
Yeah.
So I went up there, you know, to meet with him ahead of time, like I did you, and went to the store, and he's walking through, and here's a family from Russia. And he starts speaking to him in Russian. Then the Chinese family starts speaking Chinese. We get in the car. We go to Zenders. He greets the receptionist at Zenders. He knew her name. We sit down, and here's this young girl waitress. He knew her name. He was bigger than life.
Yeah, he was quite a guy. In fact, my wife used to be a flight attendant for Northwest when it was still in business, and she came home one day and went before we were married, and she said, "Gosh, I met this guy on the plane today. He had red shoes on and a green jacket. His name was Wally Brunner. Do you know him?" I said, "Yeah, I know him." He goes, "He just made an impact on everybody, and you never forgot Wally Brunner."
All right, Zenders does a whole lot of things, the 1,500 seat restaurant, but then you got the Splash Village Hotel and the water park. Tell us about the hotel and the water park.
Yeah, we got into the lodging business. What we wanted to do was create a four-season family vacation destination. It's sort of our overarching theme, so where families could come to Frankenmuth and enjoy their free time, their vacation time. And when we first bought a Bavarian House Motel, it was called. It was run by Walter Maria Palmer on the site that we are right now with Splash Village, and right next to Bronner's. And we wanted to take lodging to the next level and create something a little bit different. And at the time, the Great Wolf Lodges of the world were kind of springing up, and spent a few years looking at Great Wolf Lodge and some of the other businesses that were coming in, some of the indoor water park hotels that were springing up in Wisconsin. Went to some of the conventions. We said, "This, I think, is for us. I think this is going to last." And saw that their focus was on families, and that's where our focus was. And we got into the indoor water park hotel business. And we opened phase one now 14 years ago. And then 5 years later began, and 4 years ago opened phase two. And it's a fantastic business for us. And phase two is complete, looks like an atrium with a retractable roof. So on a nice day, we open the roof. It's about 40,000 square feet of indoor water park space and open to the air. And we're actually taking phase one now, which was a sort of a conventional wood frame structure, and converting that to a glass building. And we should have that completed over the next year. But the most difficult part, we're going to put a retractable roof on that, is going to be done by about the early part of June of this year. So we're going to have a kind of a grand reopening. But it's been a great business. It's allowed families allowed us to reintroduce families to Zenders. Yeah.
All right, Zenders Retail Marketplace.
Yeah, it's it was born out of our bakery, really, and we have always had a focus on baking all of our own products, and we started to sell our baked goods in our lower level. And in the early 80s, we completely excavated the lower level of our restaurant and put in a retail marketplace where we can sell what we call our tier one products. So the noodles that we serve on the table, our seasonings, our cheese spreads, all of our salad dressings, all of our baked goods are sold in our retail marketplace. So we've had a great relationship with a Detroit company, Greenfield Noodle Company, that for generations has been making the noodles that we serve on our table.
If you want to learn more, www.zenders, ZEHNDERS.com. Al, do you go down those steps every day to sample stuff in the bakery?
I go down those steps every day. I don't sample the bakery every day. Otherwise, I could just, it's just way too tempting. And we have there's a spot in the bakery where if something doesn't turn out quite right, they set it off to the side. And if you want to have that, we call it the bait pile, because everybody is drawn into that sort of, either it's too small or too big or a little bit overdone. You can get caught up in sampling the baked goods.
All right. 35 years ago, believe it or not, you buy a 9-hole golf course. Today it's an 18-hole, the Fortress.
Yeah, we got into the golf business, and it's just almost right next to the restaurant. The only thing that separates the golf course from the restaurant is the Cass River. And it was our attempt to, number one, create an amenity for our community. So we needed an 18-hole. We felt that an 18-hole golf course was just the thing. And then also to sort of round out our offering to families that want to golf. And we have a very active junior program at the Fortress. We had completely redesigned and reopened in early 2000 after purchasing the land and expanding from 9 to 18 holes that we needed. And the focus of the Fortress is on service and on sort of a expertly manicured course. So I don't think you're going to find nicer greens, tees, or fairways anywhere in the state.
All right. Overall, you want this four-season family destination. So your newest initiative is Snowfest.
Yeah, Snowfest has been a really fantastic winter activity for us. And the truth of the matter is, my brother-in-law, John Shelton, who handles all of our marketing and sales, we were just sitting there, and these two guys literally came walking in one day and said, hey, we've got this idea where we sort of know some of these people that carve ice and snow, and I think Frankenmuth would be a great place to have that event. And we said, all right. I mean, it was the slowest time of year for us. Let's give it a shot. Well, that first year, we did it. About 100,000 people showed up, and we were just, my gosh, we had this tiger by the tail. And so over the years, Snowfest has grown into one of North America's premier ice and snow events. About 250,000 people come in over a 4 or 5 day period, and ice carvers from all over the United States and the world. We have international teams that come in and compete. We have high school teams, college teams that compete, professional ice carving competition. So it's really a fantastic, again, family-oriented event that costs nothing for you to come. You just can come in and view what's going on. A lot of activity.
We're talking to Al Zender, who has another passion in his life. As if he needed another passion. He's the chairman of the board of Northwood University. Special place. When we come back, we're going to talk to him about Northwood University. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Al Zender. Since 2014, he's also been the chairman of the board of Northwood University. Tell us about Northwood University.
You know, it's really a special place. My dad was the friend of the founders, Gary Stauffer and Arthur Turner, and they had this idea of creating this university in the North Woods of Michigan. That's where it got its name, and focus on business and entrepreneurship and all those things that sometimes kind of get lost along the way. And over the years, it's grown into a really special place. And we graduate about 600 and some kids every year system-wide that are focused on personal responsibility, ethical behavior, all focused on business. And I'm just really proud of the product of Northwood is the kids. And I was at the graduation just this past weekend, and each and every one of them are armed with a special skill set. Because they come to Northwood for a special reason, because it's a singular focus and business. And we try to teach about personal responsibility and taking charge of yourself and doing the right thing and being the right person. And I'm just proud of my affiliation with Northwood and look forward to continuing to help it grow.
Speaking of being the right person, doing your best, doing the right thing, for the last 13 years, you've been blessed to have Keith Priddy as the president of Northwood University.
Great guy.
Tell us about Keith Priddy.
The hardest working guy I know is Keith Priddy. I mean, if you call him, he's either down here at the Detroit Economic Club, or he's talking to some donor down in Florida, or he's always on the go. We have a couple of units in Europe, Montreux, Switzerland. He goes to their graduation, or in Sri Lanka, we have another teaching center. So he's always on the go, and he lives and breathes Northwood University. I'm going to be sad to see him go. He's and his wife Gretchen. I mean, I've come to realize how important the wife of the president of a university is, and they take not only pride in the university itself, the physical university, but have tried to develop a personal relationship with each of the students. So it's like they're very, very special people, and they've become very good friends of ours.
We were together a month or two ago in Palm Beach on a Friday lunch.
Yes.
And there were maybe 15, 20 students in that little lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And Keith asked each one to get up and tell about themselves. And some were better at it. This Ollie kid talked for 5 minutes, you know. Others were shy. But then Keith added to every one of the kids.
Yeah. He's got that special skill of... He's the kind of guy that you'll see walking around campus and talking to the kids there might be only 1,500 kids. So when you're there for 13 years, I mean, and every cohort of classes there for 4 years, you get to know these people, and he knows them all. I don't think it's much of an exaggeration. He knows something about each one of them. Yeah.
All right. If you go on the Google and look up class and elegance, what pops up is a picture of Gretchen Pretty. Talk to us about Gretchen Pretty.
Very special person. She's like Keith. She wants to be part of the university in terms of getting to know the kids. And she also has a very special skill set. And she, as an interior designer, and we've used Gretchen to... assist us in, we just finish what we call North Village. It's a brand new state-of-the-art residence hall for our students. And she did all the interior design work and works tirelessly on keeping our signage and buildings, interiors looking great, and is as tireless a person as Keith is. But I don't know. I keep joking with her. I said, I don't know what she's going to do with Keith after he retires, because he's, you know, you just can't go 100 miles an hour and then do nothing. But I think we're going to keep him a little bit busy, and hopefully Gretchen too.
Speaking of retiring, effective August 1st, Northwood has a new president, Dr. Kent McDonald. Tell us about Dr. McDonald.
We're lucky to get him. We had a when Keith told us he was going to be retiring, and at first we tried to ignore him, but he said, "No, really, I'm retiring." And so we put together a presidential search committee with 11 members of our 22 member board of trustees, and we hired a company to help us do this really international search. And we had 8 candidates that we interviewed over 2 days. We had them fly in to Detroit Metro Airport, and we interviewed the people, and Dr. Kent McDonald stood head and shoulders above everybody else. Personable, engaging, articulate, humble, has a sort of that servant leader focus about him, obviously highly educated, and leads one of Canada's most prestigious oldest university, St. Francis Xavier University, in Canada. And he's communicated with him a little bit yesterday. He hits the ground running August 1st at Northwood University.
Have you got a long list of to-dos already for him?
I think his list is longer for us. I know he is going to come out with a 100-day plan of what he hopes to do in the first 100 days, and what he really hopes to focus on is getting to know the university, getting to know the people, getting to know the departments. I think he's a very, very quick study, and he's going to do a fantastic job for Northwood University.
I've heard it said that it's very tough to get to the top. It's much tougher to stay at the top. How do you keep staying at the top, whether it's in the restaurant business, hotel business, golf course, university? How do you stay at the top?
Always do the best you can do. I mean, we make, as an example, when we first started Splash Village, in our restaurant we had at Splash Village, we had pizza. It was lousy. The pizza was lousy. And I always make the point, it takes just as much time to make a lousy pizza as it does to make a really good one. It takes the same amount of time. So we have a philosophy of constant improvement. And then we try to figure out ways to improve the improvement. And that focus on quality of products, quality of people, quality of the environment that you're in, creating an environment for our people. The restaurant business is notorious for making you work 80, 90 hours a week. I don't believe that. I believe you should be home with your family. Focus on the importance of our people. And I call it volunteer work. They come in, they volunteer to come into work every day. They could work somewhere else. So why do they come to us, or why do our guests come to us, is what we have to focus on and keep delivering each and every day.
We're talking to Al Zender. If you want to learn more, www.zenders.com. Al, constant improvement. What role has faith played in your life?
Well, you have to keep, I always say, your family and your professional life and your faith in balance. And that's one thing that I learned from my dad and my mom. Is my dad actually went away to school to be a Lutheran minister. Well, life got in the way. World War II got in the way, and he took a different tack. My uncle was a Lutheran minister for years, and so I grew up in the church. And as I get older, it's become more important to me, and to be solidly rooted in my faith and my Christian faith is. I like to demonstrate that through how we act in our business and how we act to our employees, and it's just part of what I am and part of who I am.
As our time winds down together this evening, what advice do you have to our young listeners?
Find something that you love to do, and it won't seem like work. And just keep investing in yourself, keep educating yourself, and I think our high school in Frankenmuth, as an example, kind of got away from some of the industrial arts and that kind of thing. And you know, for too often, we focus just kids going to college. I don't think that's right. And we have a lot of young people that work for us that want to be bakers and chefs and electricians and plumbers. And man, those are great jobs that we need. And if that's what you like to do, go for it. Don't go through life doing something that you don't like to do. If you want to run your own business, do it. If you want to be the best pie baker in the world, come to Zender's because I have a spot for you.
Al Zender, what a shining example of a servant leader.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Believe in yourself.